Today there are two Bible verses to be read, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. So the first reading is taken from the Old Testament's book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The second reading is taken from the New Testament, book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children and parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
You should have found on your chair a stewardship letter and a stewardship pledge card, and we would like you over the next few weeks to prayerfully consider how you would give to Union Church. To help us as we reflect and pray and think about it, Deacon Charles Caldwell will come forward and talk to us about stewardship.
Good morning, everyone. I've been in Hong Kong 21 years, and whenever I travel back to Canada, people always ask me, do you like living in Hong Kong? It's easy to complain about the noise, the pollution, the typhoons, the politics. And yet, I always say to them, yes, Hong Kong has been really, really good to us. We've been really blessed by Hong Kong during our time here. And one area that's a huge particular blessing for us is the triplets, who are doing amazingly well and probably are over in U-Bar right now. So hi, kids, and hi, U-Bar. But this past May or June, we had the youth confirmation. How many people were at the youth confirmation and were able to hear the testimonies? And that's great. And so my kids gave a testimony, and Karis gave her testimony twice at the 11 o'clock afterwards, at the second service at 11 o'clock. And you may not know the story of the triplets, but they were born in 2004, very, very premature, 14 weeks premature. They were born at 26 weeks gestation. And statistically, one of them should have died, and anecdotally, all of them could have died. But that's not how it turned out. Karis was very, very, very sick. And she, at one point, the doctors were convinced that she wasn't going to make it, and they started talking to us about pulling the plug, and Tess had to leave the room. But the conversation 24 hours later changed because the doctor said to me, Karis is getting better. I asked a lot of questions, and he stopped me, and he said, I'm unable to clinically explain why Karis is getting better. And in that moment, I had a really overwhelming experience of God's love. Now, what does this have to do with stewardship? Is there was another moment during that journey when I had an overwhelming experience of God's love, and that's when I got the bill. You laugh, but listen to this. Having a newborn baby in Queen Mary Hospital costs, at the time in 2004, cost about $50 a day times three, that's $150 a day, and the bill would come out every 14 days, and I would pay it every 14 days. And that whole time was a blur, but as the clouds started, the fog kind of started to drift away and the dust settled, and we were making plans for them to come home, I started looking at the small print at the bottom of the bill. And there was like a number 6 font at the very, very bottom of the bill. And I looked down at it one day and I thought, what does this say? What does this mean? And it had words to the effect of total aggregate cost of health care provided. And it was almost a 6-digit number. And in that moment, I thought, oh my gosh. We had friends all over the world going through similar journeys that we were supporting through prayer. They were supporting us, and they were dealing with millions of dollars of bills and in the U.S. and that sort of thing. And I thought, wow, look at that. And I thought, I am paying this little amount every couple of weeks, and this huge amount is coming back to me. And I had a really tangible impact of God's love. And I was so blessed by the amazing care and your prayers. Thank you. Many people in this room were praying for the triplets. I was so blessed. But that tangible impact really impacted my journey of tithing and stewardship. And it was not long after that that we got very, very serious about tithing. And I don't look at it as I have to tithe. Instead, I look at it that I get to tithe. We've been blessed by Hong Kong, blessed by Union Church. And that's why I invite you to look at where in your life you are being similarly blessed and reflect on that as you consider giving to Union Church. Thank you.
It's good to have Charles with us when we look at parenting because he is an amazing parent. In fact, your kids had you racing yesterday, I understand. So, everyone had a father like Charles. Your kids are very, very blessed as you've been blessed by them. Let's pray together. Almighty God, may your written word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. Last week, I mentioned a book by the Jewish psychologist Leonard Felder called The Ten Challenges, Spiritual Lessons from the Ten Commandments for Creating Meaning, Growth, and Richness Every Day of Your Life. And he talks about shalom, or peace, as wholeness and fullness and growth and meaning and richness. And he has another book, which is even more popular for some reason than his book on the Ten Commandments, called Making Peace with Your Parents. Now, how many of you would like to have a copy of that book? Many of us would like to make peace with our parents, to have, Anna's sitting next to her parents. Okay. We would like to have a wonderful relationship. That's the way God intended it to be. And it's very interesting that God tells us, honor your father and your mother. And that's in Exodus, that's in Leviticus, that's in Deuteronomy, it carries over into Colossians, and we heard Ephesians. Honor your father and mother. But a very interesting reading is in Leviticus, and you don't get to look at Leviticus very often, but it's the book after Exodus. And Leviticus in chapter 19, verse 1, the Lord says to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. God has perfect purity, holiness, sanctified, set apart. That's God. And he says, I'm holy. I want you to be holy. In the passage Ephesians, before it talks about honoring your parents, Paul invites us to imitate Christ. C.S. Lewis says we are called to be little Christ, to represent Jesus Christ. God says, be holy because I am holy. How are you holy? He goes on in the next verse. Each of you must respect your father and your mother. Is that interesting? He says, you need to be holy. And the way you start doing that is respecting, honoring your father and your mother. It's sanctified, it's ordered, it's ordained that we are to honor and respect our parents. Now, I had a wonderful Old Testament professor by the name of Walter Kaiser, and he says, what does it mean to honor your parents? He says it means three things. First of all, to prize your parents. Now, I love my kids, but sometimes I embarrass my kids. And when I lived in England, I had a 1986 Volvo. It was a tank. And I was proud of how many miles it had on it. But as we would pull up to my son's school, they would say, Dad, could you stop here, about a block away from the school? And I would say, well, why? And they would say, we don't really want our friends to see you or your car. So my sons need to work a little more on prizing their parents. But what does it mean to prize, to hold your parents in very high esteem? Lauren Coldwell is not in this service. His father was killed during World War II when he was 4. And his mother just died several years ago. And I can't think of anyone who had a better vocation of prizing and honoring a parent as Lawrence Coldwell. That's the way it was meant to be. And as his mother was dying, Lawrence said, I wish I could have been a better parent. I mean, a better child. And she says, no, you were a wonderful child. And that's what we all should be hearing, right? To prize. Secondly, to care and show affection. And thirdly, to defer to the parent. To respect and defer to your parent. That's what it means. That's what the commandment is. If you want to be holy, you've got to honor your father and your mother. It's not just a spiritual law, it's a moral law, it's a universal law for all people at all times. Honor your parents. Well, after the 8:45 service, somebody came up to me and put their iPhone right in my face and said, look at this email I just got from my dad. And it was a very unpleasant email. And someone else came up to me and said, my mother is impossible. How can I honor such a mean person? And if we're really honest with each other, some people say, it's really hard for me to have a good mental picture of God, the loving Father, because my earthly father was anything but loving. So this first of all relationships of parents and child is supposed to be a holy thing, supposed to be sanctified, but often it is very sinful. And our parents are far from perfect. And those of us who are parents are far from perfect. And you children, you are very far from perfect. Sin has entered the world. This wholeness, this peace has been ruptured. Now, it's interesting, the psychologists who wrote the book and scripture say there are two prescriptions, two remedies, and they're both painful. One is repentance. One is forgiveness. It would be great if our parents said, oh, we raised you wrong. We feel so terrible. If we had it to do over again, we'd do it so differently. Please forgive me. But most of us haven't heard that from our parents. It's hard. What? Choir, there's another choir out there too. We got a lot of choirs today. Now, where was I? Okay. Repentance and forgiveness. But the thing that this psychologist of faith says, that you don't forgive your parents for their good. You forgive your parents for your good. Forgiveness and repentance in a fallen world. And there are families in crisis. But guess what? There have always been families in crisis. I read a sermon from 1020 AD where a monk berails the children of the day. And I could be reading it verbatim today about the way sometimes we talk about young people. Carl Zimmerman was a very prominent sociologist at Harvard University. And he wrote a book called Family and Civilization. And he wrote it in 1947, and in many ways, it's quite prophetic. He was a sociologist, but he studied the history of families through histories. And he said there are three kinds of family. There's what he called a trustee or tribal family, mostly in agrarian cultures. But he spent a lot of time in Thailand, and he said this is very often an Asian sort of family. Then there's a traditional Western family, But it's a family, not just a mother, father, and kids. It's also grandparents, uncles, aunts. It's an extended family. And that sort of family thrived for over 1,000 years in Europe until the Protestant Reformation. Very interesting. We just celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Zimmerman says the Protestant Reformation and then the Enlightenment that followed, with an emphasis on individualism, caused what he calls an atomistic family, where the ties are very loose. It's okay to get divorced and try it again. It's okay to mess around. He said as he studied civilizations, the Greek civilization and the Roman civilization started with tribal families, moved to traditional families, and then moved to atomistic families, and then they declined and fell. And very, very interesting. He said the Romans were defeated by the barbarians because the barbarians had very strong tribal families, and the Romans did not. And he was looking, he's writing this in 1947. He says, I've already seen the seeds of the collapse of the Western world. And he talks about sexual perversions, not politically correct. He talks about how commitments are not being kept. And he said, I don't think the United States will last until the year 2000. Well, he was wrong. But in some points, he was right. The family, whether nuclear family or extended traditional family or tribal family, is in trouble. Because we are sinners, and that makes families sinful. So what do we do? How do we redeem our families? How do we sanctify our families? You've been listening to me for a long time, been probably listening to the kids sing even more. Now it's time to listen to each other. I want you to turn to somebody and think in your mind of the best parent, father or son, father or mother, that you have ever known. It doesn't have to be your parent, but and then just think of one characteristic of that parent. Why did that name pop into your mind? So think for a second and then turn to the person next to you and what are characteristics of outstanding parents that you've known? Don't be shy. Even up here, guys, we can even talk. Okay, order. Okay. Now, I'm hoping, not to put pressure on, but every other service, there have been brave people who aren't afraid to shout out their answers. What are some characteristics of really good parents?
Unconditional love.
Fantastic. That says it all, but communication?
Sacrifice.
Generosity. Do you want to come up and finish the sermon? You're doing really good.
Generosity.
Anyway, there are a whole lot of real good things. I'm glad you had that time to talk. But now, what does it mean to be a Christian son or daughter? To have the gift of sonship or daughtership? Well, I suggest we turn to Jesus, right? Now, the relationship Jesus had with God the Father is pretty impressive. But the relationship Jesus had with his earthly parents is also very impressive. Joseph died at an early age, so we don't know much about him. But there were times when Jesus was misunderstood by his mother. Can you imagine that? Misunderstood by his mother. And yet he loved and respected her. And in the Gospel of John, as Jesus is about to die on the cross, he looks down and he sees his mother. And he turns to John, the disciple, and says, John, take care of my mother. Almost the last thing Jesus did was to provide for his mother. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm encouraging us to practice the vocation of sonship or daughtership. And I'm encouraging us to start now. Some of us have already lost our parents. Others of us are estranged from our parents. But what can we do to start the process of peace? Whether it's forgiveness or reconciliation of some kind, maybe simple letter, even an email, but not like the one the woman got today, just to reestablish contact, to remind them that they are loved, that they are prized, that they are cared for, and that you really respect and defer to them. Now, it's interesting, it's a Stewardship Sunday, and the passage before us reappears in Mark chapter 7. Jesus is in a fierce argument with the Pharisees. And, well, let's read it because it's so good. Mark chapter 7, verse 9 through 13. Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to observe your own tradition. Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.'" That's the command. "And anyone who curses his father or mother should be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban.'" Now that's kind of a technical term, but it's a gift devoted to God. "Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." So it's kind of a neat trick. Mom and dad come for support. Now, last vote I'll take today, and I'm fascinated by the responses so far. How many of you would support a parent if they had financial or emotional needs? How many of you would support your parents? Okay, now here's the hard one. How many of you would support your parent if they were terrible with money, they wasted everything, and you knew they would still be a mess even after you gave a whole bunch of money? How many of you would still support them? I hope my children find as generous parents as you, children as you've been. Fantastic. But the idea was, sorry, Dad, I'd like to help out, but all that I have is the Lord's, and therefore there's nothing left for you. We are called to be good stewards. God has given us everything. But we are called to support our families and his work from his resources. And we are good stewards when we practice sonship or daughtership. There's a world out there that's hurting. I close with some rather grim news. There is a tremendous sense of loneliness around the planet, but particularly in developed countries and in large cities like Hong Kong. There's an opioid crisis in the United States that's going out of control. There's a suicide rate among middle-aged American males that they can't explain from any other reason except they don't have any friends. We all have Facebook friends, but we are so, what this article says, hyper-individualistic that we've lost all sense of community. And community starts with a family and with a family of God and a congregation. And we are called to support each other in ways that will not only meet the needs of the group involved, but also witness to Jesus Christ and the love that he has. And that's what we're about to do now as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together.